go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
Now, we want to welcome those listeners who are joining us for the first time today. In our broadcast, we look at sacred scripture, excerpts from the catechism, the lives of our saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America.
2 weeks ago, Peter and I began to share what we believe is another important truth that needs to be rebuilt and restored in us as individuals, our families, and our parishes, and that is the kind of prayers called intercession. We learned what intercession is and how it specifically means to stand in the gap for someone. We considered two powerful Old Testament heroes, Abraham and Moses, who modeled intercession and how they stood in the gap for the people that were in disobedience and rebellion against God, and they interceded for God's mercy. Peter, we also learned that Jesus, in addition to being our good shepherd and our Lord and Savior, was also a really great intercessor.
Yes, intercession was one of the great marks of Jesus' ministry. And we're told in Hebrews 7 that Jesus is our high priest and is at God's right hand, and he always lives to make intercession for us.
Well, Peter, could you share with us again what the Greek word for intercession means? It gives us such a beautiful insight into what's happening when we intercede before the throne of God with Jesus.
Yes, Leslie, it's the word entoukos, which is the Greek for intercession in this scripture that we just mentioned. It meant to chance upon, to have an audience with a king, and to have good fortune to be admitted to an audience with a king to present a petition.
I love that picture.
It was constantly used for writing address to the king. And it's so beautiful to know that right before us, Leslie, King Jesus stands before us, and we have an open door into his throne room to pray.
Right. We have an audience with him.
Amen.
Well, some Christians are given to intercession, having received this as a charism. We talked about that. It can be a gift of the Holy Spirit, but all of us are called to find a place of intercession in our daily walk. So last week, we shared the perfect place in Scripture where we can learn how to intercede, and we really think it's going to be good for us to go back over this, don't we, Peter?
Yes, Leslie. So we've talked about that we've uncovered a jewel, a treasure to be found in sacred Scripture. In John 17, the Holy Spirit removes the veil and records through John the high priestly intercessory prayer of our Lord Jesus. And we discover the heart of Jesus for his followers and what he thought was important to pray for his followers. And this includes his disciples throughout history. Let's read some of this together and gain insights from Jesus about intercession.
Right. You're going to just read a portion of Scripture and then just talk us through it.
Okay. So Jesus begins by saying, "This is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is first and most important, the burden of Jesus' heart. If this does not take place, Leslie, then all the other needs in a person's life cannot be met. And this is the overarching prayer we should have for everyone that we pray for, that they would know the Father and the Son and have a personal relationship with our Lord, which is eternal life. This is the starting point for when we pray for somebody and for everything in intercession. Then, after Jesus makes this overarching petition for his followers, let's look at some of the other burdens in his prayer. He said, "I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished that work which you gave me to do. I manifested your name to the men who you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me." Now, we've all been given a work to do on the earth, right? So when we pray for others, pray that they would accomplish the work and the calling that God has given them to do. In fact, I was thinking Mother Teresa used to call this a call within a call.
Yes, and we do pray this for our sons and our daughters, that they would fulfill their calling or their purpose for their lives. I think it's a really good prayer.
Jesus went on to pray, "And they have kept your word, for the words which you gave me, I've given them, and they received them." Jesus has given us his word, and we're called to keep these words. So when we pray for others, we pray that they would grow in God's word and grow deep in Scripture.
Pray that they would hunger and thirst for God's word.
Amen. Jesus went on and said, "And they truly understood that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me." We may be praying for those who are not believers many times. Here we learn from Jesus that we should pray that others would believe what it says in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus went on and said, "Keep them in your name, the name which you've given me." Here we understand the power that's in Jesus' name. It's through the name of Jesus that we are kept close to the Father. Pray that others would know the power that's in the name of Jesus when you pray for them.
Well, I even thought that we would pray that they would call upon the name of Jesus. Isn't that right?
Yes, amen. Jesus went on and said this, that they may be one even as we are one.
This is really important.
So here we see in his priestly prayer that there's a burden for intercession to break down divisions in families, in churches, and in cultures. Pray for the grace of God to break down these divisions and to bring unity.
And remember what Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So this is a really important prayer.
Leslie, I love this next part of the prayer. He said, "I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that Scripture would be fulfilled." Pray for the Lord's protection and for those close to our hearts, that they would not perish as a result of sin or physical tragedies, that God would guard them. Then he said, "so that they may have joy made full in themselves."
We all need the joy of the Lord.
In fact, the Scripture says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we're praying that the joy of the Lord would be the strength of those that we're interceding for. Jesus went on and said, "I've given them your word, Father, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So we pray that if they're suffering persecution, like many are throughout the world, that they would be able to be strong. I think of China and Nigeria, where persecution is going on constantly. Then finally, Leslie, at the end of this prayer, there's the capstone. Jesus said this, "so that the love for which you love me may be in them and I in them." This is the capstone for those that we're praying for, that they would be filled with the love of God.
Right. We all need to be filled with God's love because our human love often fails, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Okay, listeners, this is a great time to take a short break. And when we return, we're going to look at a powerful example of intercession in the Acts of the Apostles. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
The gifts of the Holy Spirit are permanent dispositions that make us docile to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. These gifts sustain the moral life of the Christian. They are seven in number: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children and heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, in whom the gifts are seen in their fullness. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are 12 in number. They are charity, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. The fruits are perfections the Holy Spirit forms in us as the first fruits of eternal glory. I'm Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. And today we are discussing how Jesus, in his high priestly prayer in John 17, unveils what the focus of our prayers should be for others. Well, we want now to discuss several amazing places in the Acts of the Apostles where intercession unlocked the move of God.
So the book of Acts shows the importance, place, and priority of intercessory prayer in the early days of Christianity. Let's discuss, Leslie, briefly some of those instances. First of all, intercession for the new apostle to replace Judas. This is very interesting. In the upper room before the Holy Spirit fell, we read that St. Peter explained the need to find a replacement for Judas as a witness to the Lord's resurrection. There, to find a replacement, they had two candidates, Joseph Barsabbas and Matthias. What was to be done? How should they go about choosing? The answer was simple. It says in verse 24, and they prayed. They addressed the Lord as the one who knows the hearts of all. This was just what they needed at that time. They had two candidates, but lacked knowledge of their hearts. Their prayer is specific, short, and to the point. They said, show which one of these two you have chosen. The Lord's answer came quickly, interestingly enough, with the help of lots that were cast.
This intercession was literally for the future of the church, when you think about it. It needed to be built on 12 foundation stones, the 12 apostles as the new Israel. So this is an example of our calling to be intercessors for leadership in our church, especially in these very significant times.
Yes, Leslie, we're reminded in Hebrews chapter 13 to pray for those that have led you. And I think that right now we really need to have this at the top of our list for intercession.
Amen.
So, secondly, the intercession for the Spirit to come, an early example of the sacrament of confirmation when the Lord brought the word to the Samaritans. In Acts chapter 8, we learn that Philip the evangelist went to a city of Samaria to preach the gospel. Many heard, believed, and then were baptized. Remember in 1:8, chapter 1, verse 8 of Acts, Jesus promised, you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. These Samaritans had repented and been baptized. They were children of God, and they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. Very interesting. They were not yet sealed. It says in Ephesians 1:13 that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. So God in his wisdom had withheld that spirit until each time that Peter and John arrived from Jerusalem and prayed for them, the scripture says, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now in this way, it was made clear that there was no such thing as a Samaritan church or a Jewish one, whether Jews or Samaritans or even later the Gentiles we know, all form one church, the body of Christ. So this intercession for the Spirit also demonstrates there was an expression of fellowship between Jerusalem and Samaria. There was fellowship as opposed to division. Lord, right from the beginning, wanted unity among the believers.
Well, this intercession does remind us of the Lord's intercession in John 17, like you said, where he prayed that we would all be one, even as he and the Father were one, in order that the world may know that the Father had sent the Son. And even today in our beloved Catholic Church, there is significant division among the faithful, and we must intercede for the church and her unity, because we don't want unbelievers to come to the church and be turned away by any scandal of division.
So, and Leslie, we can take the time that we critique and criticize and change it to intercession, right?
I agree.
Amen. Thirdly, in the Acts of the Apostles, an example of intercession, and this is so important, intercession in the face of persecution. This is a wonderful, amazing story, Leslie. In Acts chapter 12, we find the first Christians in a crisis. Herod had taken captive a number who belonged to the church. He killed St. James, one of the 12, and seeing that this pleased the Jews, the scripture says they arrested Peter and put him in prison. The church in Jerusalem responds and turns to intense intercession, and it says earnest prayer for him, that's St. Peter, was made to God by the church. The effect of the intercession was dramatic. Peter, the night before his planned execution, an angel shows up in his cell. An angel appears in the cell, and a bright light shines. And the angel had to strike his side to wake him up.
So supernatural things can happen when we intercede.
Yeah, in fact, the scripture says St. Peter, when this was going on, first of all, thought that he was dreaming. As soon as he realized it was not a dream, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, and many were gathered there, and they were praying for Peter.
There it is again. They were praying.
And it's interesting, the implication is they were interceding and praying day and night for St. Peter. When he knocked at the outer gate, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, the scripture says, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. Now listen to this, Leslie. They said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she insisted that it was so. They said, "It is his angel." Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the gate, they saw him, and they were amazed.
This story is great.
Yeah, so he motioned to them with his hand to be silent, and he described for them the answer to their intercessions, how the Lord had brought him out of prison, and he added, "Tell this to James and the believers." Then he left, and he went to another place. So the bottom line here, Leslie, is this. We must intercede for the persecuted church worldwide. I mentioned, like right now, as we speak today, in the underground Catholic Church in China, there are leaders, priests, and believers that are being put in prison on a regular basis. And we know in Nigeria, of which we've got some contact with some beloved brothers and sisters there, that in Nigeria, especially in the north, there are Catholics that are being persecuted, are being kidnapped, and some priests have been killed. And in fact, their
church is burned.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, we need to pray and intercede for the persecuted church.
Well, these are three great examples of divine intervention that happened as a result of the first Christians interceding. Okay, listeners, we're going to take another break now. And when we return, we will look at what the Catechism teaches us about intercession and end with a saint who was known for her intercessions. You don't want to miss this.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
So many of us carry such heavy burdens.
You're crazy!
Deep within, we struggle.
Come on, babe. It'll be fun.
Because sin separates us from God.
She's having a relationship with George.
But thanks to the grace of confession, God compassionately listens, forgives, and sets us free. So if it's been a while since you've been to confession or Mass, come home and experience a fresh start. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Catholic Radio Indy thanks you for your support.
To get the truth and the promises of God into the hearts of people through these airways, the message of Christ gets out that way. It's incredible.
Catholic Radio Indy.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we are discussing the need to rebuild the ministry of intercession in our Catholic faith and culture. We've shared that Jesus Christ is the perfect intercessor, and he modeled intercession in his high priestly prayer in John 17. Amazingly, he continues to intercede for us now in heaven. We've also learned that the early church understood the power of intercessory prayer. They interceded for guidance on appointing a new apostle, for the Holy Spirit to come to the Samaritan believers and to deliver Peter in the face of persecution and imprisonment. Those are just three examples.
Mm-hmm.
The Catechism, however, also has some important insights for us. So, Peter, you've been catching up on your Catechism. What have you learned?
So these three paragraphs are a great summation of what Leslie and I have been discussing these last 3 weeks.
And they say it the best.
Right. It just sums it up. First of all, in paragraph 2634, says this, intercession is a prayer of petition which leads us to pray as Jesus did. And we've been talking about how Jesus interceded.
And he's our model.
Right. He is the one intercessor with the Father on behalf of all men, especially sinners. Catechism says he is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The Holy Spirit himself, the Catechism says, intercedes for us and intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The next paragraph on intercession is 2635. It says this, since Abraham intercession, asking on behalf of another, has been characteristic of a heart attuned to God's mercy. Isn't that interesting that if we're an intercessor, that means we're in touch with God's mercy. In the age of the church, Christian intercession participates in Christ's, that is mercy, as an expression of the communion of the saints. In intercession, he who prays looks not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, even to the point of praying for those who did him harm. So important. You just see that this whole area of intercession explodes and calls us to our knees. And finally, in paragraph 2636, it says this, the first Christian communities lived this form of fellowship intensely. We talked about that in the Acts of the Apostles. Thus, the Apostle Paul gives them a share in his ministry of preaching the gospel, but also intercedes for them. The intercession of Christians recognizes no boundaries. It's for all men, for kings, and for all who are in high positions. The Catechism says also for persecutors, for the salvation of those who reject the gospel. Pretty all-inclusive.
Okay, well, many of us have been touched by the powerful witness of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. So as we end today, we want to share a great story concerning her powerful intercessions. And if you haven't read her autobiography, The Story of a Soul, it is truly a spiritual classic worth reading. In it, she reveals her deep love and devotion to God, but she also explains her little way or elevator to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the stories that we came across at her Carmelite monastery. There are hundreds of letters from soldiers fighting in World War I. I had not been aware of this one. Letters thanking Thérèse for her intercessory prayer from heaven that miraculously protected them during battle. While not knowing how to thank her, these soldiers sent letters of gratitude to her religious order. It was these letters that opened her cause for canonization. St. Thérèse is now considered the patron saint of missionaries because of her powerful intercession. So she saw prayer not as a bargaining with God, but as a uniting her will and desires to God's will and desires, and asking that same thing to happen for whoever she was interceding for. Approaching prayer in this way can change how we intercede for others. We can pray with boldness and confidence because we're praying to bring about God's will in the lives of those we are interceding for. I found that very helpful, Peter.
Yes, and this is another insight from Thérèse Leslie, is that her model for intercession is that she saw intercession not as her own work, but as God's work, as being in fellowship with God, looking at a situation. St. Thérèse called her spirituality the little way, and it involves recognizing our own weakness, first of all, and littleness before God, and asking the Lord to sanctify us and bring us closer to him through our littleness. And one of the most fundamental keys to intercession that we've talked about is believing in the power of our prayers despite our own smallness and our own imperfection. St. Thérèse explains that when we become little, we make room for God to work. If we apply this same principle to our intercessory prayers, we see that God wants to use it for his greater glory, no matter how small or how simple. God doesn't ask for a big, complicated prayer, Leslie, but just honest prayer from our hearts, no matter what the size.
Okay, Peter, could you sum up for us how we can powerfully intercede for others? Where do we get started?
This is a great way to end, Leslie, and this sums up what we've talked about these last weeks. Number one, develop a prayer list. We've talked about that. Number two, set a time to intercede. We've talked about usually the morning hours work best. Thirdly, praise God for his ability to act when we pray for someone else. Praise him that he is greater than the circumstance and situation. Fourthly, pray for his specific actions according to the need, whether it be healing, deliverance, protection, or peace in a situation. Pray specifically. Number four.
Right. Don't be afraid to ask.
Yes. Fifthly, and if we're married, we've talked about this, 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us that when a husband and wife are in unity, their prayers and their intercessions become powerful. So grab your spouse, go to the inner sanctum, and pray for those needs that are on that list. Sixthly, remember, and this is so simple, but pray in the name of Jesus. Remember when Jesus said in John 17 that the Father gave him a name, that name is above all name, and when we pray in that name, things change. Finally, and seventhly, we should do this without ceasing. Remember in Acts chapter 12, they prayed constantly when Peter was in prison. And 1 Thessalonians tells us to pray without ceasing.
Okay, Peter, so you could you end today with praying for us and our listeners that we could step out and become intercessors for our as individuals, as families, and for our church?
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we come before you today, and we say, come, Holy Spirit. Please burden our hearts for those prayers and intercessions that you've called us to pray, whether it's in the big picture of our world, of our leaders, of our spiritual leaders, of our governmental leaders, or if it's in our all unique worlds of our family, our friends, our children, our grandchildren. Please help us, O Lord, to come alongside with you, pray in intercession, and cause your will to come and cause your blessing to come for those that we love. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay, everyone. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.